Thanks for calling Toyota. This is Jan.
I just adopted a new best friend, and I'm looking for a Toyota so we can make the most out of summer.
With a new RAV4, you can take your pup for a drive up the coast. You can take a Prius to the park, or you can take a Tundra to kayak at a remote lake.
One problem, Jan.
Oh?
My new best friend's a cat.
Your summer starts here, but it all ends June 3rd. Toyota, let's go places. Dealer inventory may vary. See your participating Toyota dealer for details.
Visit your Front Range Toyota stores today. Toyota, let's go places.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. Win. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Welcome into the DNVR Avalanche podcast. It's a day off for the Avalanche after that wild Game 1 win, and we figured we'd cover kind of all of our bases, maybe look back at the game some, talk about how we expect this series to not play out, but how teams might adapt going forward. AJ, Eric, Rudo. Big news of the day, Joel Kiviranta is skating. Jared Bednar officially saying he is close to coming back. I don't know. We don't have to beat around the bush with this. Let's just have you listen to what Jared Bednar had to say this morning about where his team is at.
Everybody good?
Yeah.
Yeah, want to start? Want to try to see?
Sure, I'll start. You mentioned last night that there were a bunch of things that you could do better. What are some of the things that you would like to see improved as you go into game 2 and try to take both here?
Well, our forecheck's got to be better, and we got caught underneath the puck a number of times and gave up some odd man rushes. I thought our D did a nice job handling those odd man rushes and limiting their scoring chances, but too many dangerous situations for my liking is the first one.
Oh, yeah.
Sounds like Drouin's going to skate today or has skated.
Yeah.
I guess is the recovery, because that injury seems a little different than like a tear or something like that. Is that recovery a little quicker once he gets on the ice or something?
We don't know. Yeah, just depends on how he handles it, how he's feeling. He's feeling pretty good, though, in the gym. He started to ramp up doing more and more when it comes to his rehab process, but you just never know when you get on the ice, see how he feels. And you also want that wound to heal enough that it's not in jeopardy of busting open again, and that seems to be going good as well. So he's definitely making progress, but I don't have a timeline on him yet.
Corey?
Two things about Josh. The first thing, so game one in Winnipeg, obviously, he makes the pass in the middle of the ice. He had the missed coverage. Just sort of the juxtaposition of him going from kind of the goat of game one in the first round to kind of the hero in game one of this round, given that play that he made when it was 3-0.
Yeah, I think, so, you know, that's a tough job in the Winnipeg series. Like, some of those mistakes happen throughout the course of a game. They just happen to capitalize on both those opportunities, you know, and so it looks bad for Josh after that game, but we really liked this series. Like, he was an impactful player on the defending side with the physicality that he brings, and as you've seen throughout the course of the season, he's been making a lot of offensive plays too and involved in our offense. But last night, you know, he makes a huge play to keep it at 3. And like, we've been happy with his game on both sides of the puck. I think it's a better year offensively than he's had in quite some time, and yet still, like, on the defensive side of it, he keeps making plays like that at key times, and last night was just another example. So, I mean, he deserves some of the praise. He keeps the game in reach there. Same with Gorgie, keeps the game in reach for a while and then allows us to find our legs and get our game in order and be able to come back and win that one.
He was an important guy for Anaheim for several years, played a lot of minutes, but
yeah.
Is that offensive stuff, has he found more of that in the last, I guess maybe even this season, even compared to, like, you know, 2019 or 2020?
Yeah, I don't know. For sure, I think this is his best offensive production. But part of that, I think, with Josh is he's healthy. You know, like, he's been a really good player for us when healthy. And he had the injury trouble last year. And, you know, that can take its toll on you. Like, we've seen guys go out and have surgery with the same injury or less. And he tried to fight through it. So he wasn't at 100%. But Like, so in the last few years, I think numbers wise, it's his best since 17, 18, somewhere in there. So obviously still capable of helping produce. And I think now that he's feeling good, that we can expect that from him. You know, I think it's a really good solid year. I think he expects to be able to help contribute to our team's success on both sides of the puck, and he's very good at it.
Jesse?
We haven't maybe talked about him very much this season since he came back, but the way that Sam Girard is playing right now, he's not necessarily all over the score sheet last night, but there's several plays in that game where he played a key role. Just, what can you say about him as a player, and the impact that him playing the way that he's playing right now can have on his entire team?
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's huge, especially when you take the fact that we traded Bo to get Mittelstead, right? Like, I think the play of G and Mance this season probably allowed us to do that, and then being able to get Walker back obviously helps. But I think G's been exceptional since he's been back, regular season, playoffs. I mean, he just helps in so many different ways. Again, it's not always on the score sheet, but it's like solid defending, breakout, consistency, the ability to both shut down the rush and then transition the puck in neutral zone play, make plays in the offensive zone. I mean, he's hard to hit. He's hard to track down on the breakouts. So he's like, with and without the puck, he's a solid player, right? And he contributes in so many ways. It's kind of like the defense version of like a guy like Lecky that doesn't get all the credit, or Val even at times before he kind of started busting out. But when you got guys that play the right way, do the right things, are consistent at what they do on both sides of the puck and are really trusted, it's invaluable.
Is he an underrated defender? Like, in his own
I think so. I think he is, yeah. I think that the teams, would look at his size and say, this is a guy we got to target. Well, he plays against all the other team's top players on a consistent basis. And he, I think that was his learning curve coming into the league, that bigger guys, he'd still try and be more aggressive and physical and could get overpowered at times. And now he's just so good at using his feet and staying between the man and the puck, or man and the net. And he's got a great stick, and he's solid physically when he needs to be in the right areas. He's learned how to defend the net front better with his size and positioning. So it's what players have to do, especially when you're an undersized guy. You learn how to take care of the big guys and do it effectively without just getting overpowered all the time.
Girl, please.
So Bednar covered a lot of ground there. Obviously, chat talking about Drouin as well as Kiviranta. This show is about how these teams are going to adapt through this series. The biggest elephant in that room is the Avs are going to get some guys back.
I mean, I don't know that I would consider Kiviranta an elephant, but he definitely has been an important part of their success when he was playing.
Maybe.
Okay.
Either way, you take a look at this, and we've talked about lineup stuff before. If you want to hear more about that, go listen to our series preview pod and our mailbag we did on Friday. But putting these two guys in the lineup, how much does Dallas have to think about that? Does Dallas really, and with Kiviranta, I'm assuming it's probably pretty minimal. It's a depth guy. As far as game planning, I don't think your systems change that much, whether it's Chris Wagner or Kiviranta, whatever. But someone like Jonathan Drouin, you may have to take a look at some things, because he does change the shape of that top six a little bit.
I think it more changes the shape of it for how the Avs want to attack than how the Stars have to defend.
Okay.
Because for the Stars, it's just more than anything, it adds, you're gonna either get a really skilled guy in place of Zach Parise on your second line.
Yeah.
Or you're gonna end up with another forecheck two-way monster in Val Nichushkin dropping down to that second line.
Yep.
Or you're going to add Mikko Rantanen into your second line, and now you have big problems, literal and figurative in that case. So I think it will have a more transformative effect on how the Avs want to attack than how the Stars want to defend to start with. And then the Stars will have to figure out, the Stars have to find something that works. They didn't really find much that worked last night to overtime, and I'm I'm iffy that they will take, oh, hey, we had 9 good minutes at 5v5, and then we're going to try and use that to build a game plan around. I just don't – I'm iffy that they will do that.
I love that point, because if I'm Dallas, I take a look at the second, third period of that game, and I'm concerned. Hey, our whole plan was to play low-event hockey and slow the Avs down. Okay, we did that, and the Avs still smoked us in that style of game.
The Avs outdid the Stars at what the Stars wanted to do.
Yeah.
Colorado was way more comfortable in that environment than the Stars were expecting.
Yep.
And I wrote this on our roundtable today. There was a lot of talk about the fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
How is that going to get better?
Right, you only get one day off between every game still.
It's like, every other day for the entire series, and then games 3 and 4 back in Denver. On top of that, defensively, you are actively choosing
to play five
defensemen. Yep. They played, Nils Lundqvist played 407 in last night in game one.
Hakanpaa's not coming back tomorrow.
Well, Hakanpaa hasn't even started skating.
Yeah, he won't be there for game two.
If he has to start skating first.
Like he's a draft, right? And I like Hakanpaa. You know that.
I do too.
Look at the book downstairs. But probably ways away. If he hasn't practiced, like you're ways away.
And if he hasn't practiced and he drops into your lineup, are you really just going to throw 18 minutes at him? And Ryan Suter was your second lowest defenseman in time on ice yesterday. He played 22 minutes. Now, I know that's an overtime game. But still, you had 5D over 20 minutes, and one of those guys played 407. There's no trust. His last shift, Nils Lundqvist's last shift, was at 12:45 of the second period in an overtime game. So Pete DeBoer's like, oh, our fatigue really caught up to us. Aren't you creating some of the fatigue problem that you have on the back end because you're overextending your guys a bit? I would like to know thoughts about it.
I have some thoughts, but I want to hear Eric's take on it first, because he's the guy who's actually experienced some of that fatigue in real life.
Yeah, here's what I'll say. I think it's not going to get better. Like, I agree with you. It's not going to get better. I think there's mental fatigue in a sense, because when you go on a game seven and the emotions are so high, and then you beat the Stanley Cup champs, right? So you've knocked your block off that first block out of four. That the playoffs are.
Yeah.
Now you're 48 hours later, you got a game. It is an emotional let. It is, you know. But to their defense, they had everything go their way in the first period, right? Because the Avs gave them a couple silver platters.
They also didn't travel.
They didn't travel. Mm-hmm. So, you know what I mean? Like, but everything went their way. You know what I mean? Again,
absolutely.
Give them credit, too, because they were... they were fine, and they
capitalized them.
And all good, you know. They got greasy. They went to Pizza Hut. They tipped pucks home. They threw pucks on net. They cashed in on their 5-on-3. They cashed in on the other one. So two power play goals.
No, just one.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is, okay, that's how you want to start a game, and it's a new series. So emotionally, I think they'll be better next game, because Vegas is really out of the way now. You know what I mean? Where there's still lingering effects right after game seven, it's 48 hours. So there's a little bit of lingering effects. But you're in a series now. You're down 1-0.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we can do it. You know, you went down 2-0 against Vegas at home. Well, I got news for you. You don't want to try that again, right? Go down against this Avs team down 2-0. And I'm not putting the horse in front of the cart, but... so their level of desperation...
it becomes a must-win game for them, yeah.
Their level of desperation will be totally different. Totally different tomorrow night, which is Thursday night. I mean, somehow the Avs played well, but you can't say that offensively Dallas played well. They have 15 shots on net after 60 minutes of play. Yeah. Let's just be honest with each other, right? But the Avs... it's not like they had 40. So, I mean, there wasn't a lot of room until the Avs turned it on. Like we talked about in the second and third, where they were like, really not there in the first. They were really like on a slippery slope where, just stupid, playing dumb hockey. But
things weren't going well.
And then obviously Dallas turned it on, which was surprising in the OT, you know what I mean? And Georgiev was up to the task. But that's where probably Dallas played their best hockey. So it's hard to say. They were fatigued. Like, by the overtime period, they had legs, and the Avs actually didn't. You know,
right?
I mean, so
it felt very excusey to me.
I think it's more mental, and it's more like the shift of like, okay, we're switching series, and it's so hard to be for 2 weeks talking about one team, one team, one team. you know, they have gold helmets and gold unis, and you know, then next thing you know, it's a freaking blue and burgundy, you know what I mean? It's totally different, right? And then you gotta merge yourself in that situation, and he's right, on 24-hour turnaround, it's hard, you know what I mean? So it is and that's why you do short series. That's why you win short series. That's why it pays off.
It pays off.
Short series pays off.
The point that you make, though, about they had legs in overtime, I don't want to hear it, dude. You know, I know the point is great. No, like, I don't want to hear them. From him.
Yeah, I agree.
The fatigue in the last series and all boo-hoo. And Pete DeBoer did this very successfully when the Avs were up 2-0 on Vegas.
He whined a lot in that series.
Well, and it was about officiating. Yep. He cried and cried and cried about officiating.
Yeah.
And the Avs stopped getting calls for the rest of the series. And the Avs lost that series. And I don't think it was because of officiating.
No, it was because they just completely collapsed.
Exactly. There were a lot of things that went wrong in that series. But this it felt very familiar to me.
Yep.
Of, oh, we're starting this early. He's a really good coach, but he's a little whiny for my taste.
I wanted to go back to your point on the play of the defense.
Yeah.
Cale Makar and Miro Heiskanen during the regular season were within a couple seconds of average TOI of each other.
Yeah.
And I know this is an overtime game, so everyone's minutes numbers are inflated. Mm-hmm. But Miro Heiskanen in that game, you're talking about being a couple seconds away from playing 30 minutes in this game.
Yeah.
Makar played a lot. It was more like 28. And we've seen specifically with Cale Makar is a guy who over the last handful of years has learned how to meter himself with that time. We see him pull himself off the power play fairly regularly to not play too much.
To my liking. Yeah, I love that. You got to know that. I hate the 2-minute
power plays. I think he does it a little quickly for my taste. Yeah, I know. Sometimes it's like 40 seconds and he's gone. And I'm like, what are you doing?
But anyway. My point being, you have Miro, who's their number one guy, who plays nearly 30 minutes. And he's the guy at the end of the game that gets lit up. Because there's just nothing left there.
Yeah, when you watch that replay, look where Miles Woods starts. He's 15 feet away from Miro Heiskanen, and Heiskanen turns.
Yep.
And Miles Wood just chews him up. Miro Heiskanen's not slow.
No. But he was out of gas.
Yeah, and this is, I guess my curiosity is, how does this get better for Dallas? They're in the same, it's every other day.
Yep.
They're going to be in altitude in games 3 and 4. Is this just a guy protecting his team and not wanting to hit him too hard after blowing a 3-0 lead? Because it came across that to me. I was like, I get psychologically why he's doing this. But already game one, like, we're already making an excuse instead of just being like, hey, they beat us. We'll get him back. We're still at home.
The only way I see it getting better is if he's willing to play Nils Lundqvist more than 4 minutes a night.
Definitely, yeah. I mean, I wrote it in the round table, my thoughts on this exact thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a game within the game. I mean, right, it's the games within the game. So he'll say something. He might have said something totally different to his team. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's no way they were happy about blowing a 3-0 lead. I mean, I don't know any coach in the world that would be happy about that, you know. But
love it.
Yeah,
love it.
Great job, guys.
It wasn't just blowing the lead, right? It was how it happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They put up 7 shots on goal in 40 minutes of hockey.
They kind of folded a little bit up, you know.
There was virtually no offense in the rest of that regulation after the first period.
Yeah. And some of that normally
there's some score effects, but not that much.
They aren't, though. Because the Avs made that a 3-2 game 9 minutes into the second period.
Yep.
So you're talking about a 1-goal game for the last half of the game, and Dallas's offense still did very little.
And like, I can understand those first 10 minutes, they take a couple of penalties too. There's not going to be a lot of offensive generation there.
Penalties at the time were 3-0.
But you still.
So you knew that they were coming. You knew that they were going to try and get it close to evened up, and they don't kill a penalty. They go 0-2 on their penalty kill.
Yep.
Like, this is. So all the excuses coming out of Dallas today, just blow it out your ass with this. You got beat.
Yep.
And we went back to Hellebuck last, you know, his presser, like, oh, you know, I'm like, hey, just, you got beat. You weren't good. Like, I don't care what it was or whatever it is, or you weren't better than the other guy across the hall from you. And that's end of story. And for me, that's what a winner does.
Yep.
You don't need to dissect, like, you know, how goals went in. They went in. So if you're Dallas, there's no like, oh, we're tired. It's like, hey, we didn't get a job done. Now, kudos to the Avs because, you know, again, the Avs have been doing this for, what, 6 games in a row now?
Yep.
Yeah. Even game one, they didn't give a crap. We all know that. Last week, whatever it was, 2 weeks ago. So it's 6 games in a row where they're just like pretty good freaking playoff hockey.
From a statistical standpoint, I think their worst defensive game was game five.
Yeah, I would say game five, right?
I
would agree.
You know, I just think from a raw data perspective, I believe it was game five.
Yeah, I agree. And that's my point. Like, you know what I mean? So it's, you know, you can lay it all out on the table. You can say all the excuses you want. You can, you know, take it away from... It takes questions away from how come your PK was, you know,
dog shit. Two,
right? Dog shit cost the game, you know.
So. Yeah, was, I think the second one they scored like 13 seconds.
Yeah, it was almost like immediately. Was yeah.
So, you know what I mean? Like, you always hear about, or you go back a few years back with the Vegas San Jose. Remember that penalty, and then they scored, what, 4 goals or whatever? Yeah. Like, and I remember somebody saying, like, hey, whether it's the right call or the wrong call,
don't we get all scored know it was on a four weird times.
Call. They scored 4 times.
It was the wrong call.
And I get it. It was the wrong, but just do a better job killing. Shit happens in a game. Whether it's referees, whether it's things like that, do a better job. You know what I mean? You got to look at yourself in the mirror today if you're there, PK, and say, hey, we got to be better game two.
It's a 1-to-1 comparison, right? Miles Wood takes a terrible penalty after this game gets to 3-2, and the Avs crush it.
Huge like, PK.
Yeah.
Yeah, they dominate that PK. Absolutely. And then who makes the play at the end of the game?
Miles Wood. He's like, okay, oh, you won.
Gave him a chance to get it back.
You know? Georgiev gives up 3 goals on 9 shots in the first period, perfect. And you can feel however you feel about it.
Yeah.
But that's all he gives up.
And then 6 saves in overtime, including the big one on Sagan.
Yep.
What else is there?
You got to rise up to the moment and meet it. And last night the Avs did. And then that's why we're in the position that we're in right now, 1-0. Dallas will play better. But so will Colorado.
Yep.
I'm 100% on that train. If you want more thoughts from AJ and I, and if you want to get Megan's thoughts on some of these topics, we did put out that roundtable AJ was talking about. For our diehards, go check it out on thednvr.com to get even more introspective stuff on the series. We are brought to you by Toyota.
Toyota.
The official vehicle of DNVR. Right now, you can win Avalanche playoff tickets thanks to Toyota. It's the Strive for 16 wins with Toyota's Drive to 16 promotion. 16 of you will win a pair of tickets to an Avs playoff game or an Avs playoff tumbler. Don't miss this opportunity to win your playoff tickets. Check that QR code out on screen or the link in our show's description to sign up today. Toyota, the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche and DNVR. Make sure you're getting out to your Front Range Toyota dealerships, including AutoNation Toyota, Rapone Centennial, Corwin Toyota in Boulder, Groove Toyota in Littleton, Mountain States Toyota in Denver, Stevenson Toyota East in Aurora, and Stevenson Toyota West in Lakewood. Again, the official vehicle of the Colorado Avalanche and DNVR. Once you've won your playoff tickets from Toyota, go win some bets with Bet365. You can get over with Bet365 right now. Use code DNVR365 when you sign up to get not only a bunch of amazing boosts, but you bet $5 on anything, and you can get $150 in bonus bets with a new account. And maybe most importantly, make sure you're staying involved with our giveaway. It's a 6-week-long giveaway with Bet365, where when you participate, you're eligible to win bigger and bigger prizes every single week as long as you participate each week. You can start off by winning things like DNVR merch this week, and the prizes can build up to really cool stuff, including getting to pick someone like Eric Lacroix's brain at an Avs morning skate or something like that. Ooh. So could be a pretty fun time.
You hear him complain about Georgiev.
You'll probably get some of that. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's a fact.
That's a push.
If you want to enter into this competition, create your new account with the DNVR 365 code and deposit at least $10. Take a screenshot of your account with that $10 in it and send it to promo@thednvr.com. For more information, head to thednvr.com/bet365. And of course, when you do gamble with Bet365, you must be 21 or older, physically located in Colorado. And if you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call or text 1-800-GAMBLER today.
Second period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We have a Bet365 Never Ordinary Top 5 that AJ put together, and I don't even know what the topic is
for this just using last night as a launch pad, I wanted to do the top 5 overtime wins in the Avs 2.0 era.
Hell yeah.
There weren't as many as I thought.
There were at least 5.
There were. I told Tiff, I think the total number of them was 7. So
Just enough.
Two got scratched.
You know, some didn't make the cut, including the one over Calgary, that series. It was kind of a... They destroyed that game and shouldn't have been in overtime to begin with, so it's not on the list.
I know that this isn't your number one.
Game 4.
But it would have been funny if you put the number one all time as the next one.
No, that would have been a power move. That would have been a power move.
Anyway, let's get into the list.
Yeah, so number 5, this was just kind of like the good vibes game. Game 2 against Vegas, Mikko scores on the one-timer on the power play in overtime, which leads immediately to Pete DeBoer whining about officiating.
A game that they have really shouldn't have had any business winning.
Yeah, they played very poorly in and kind of set the tone for the rest of the series where Colorado's power play didn't get enough opportunities to consistently bail them out.
Yep.
Colorado would go on to blow a 2-0 lead in the third period of Game 3, where they were about 7 minutes away from taking a 3-0 series lead.
Yep.
Before all of that terrible stuff happened,
the vibes were great after Game 2. Yeah.
After Game 2, it was a lot of fun. That was just kind of a good vibes game. It was a loud building. It was so exciting. They moved to 6-0 in the playoffs after that one. It all felt really, really good before it came crashing down. So not great.
All right.
Yeah.
There are better ones on this list, I hope.
There are better ones on this list. Number 4. What is number 4? This was Gabe Landeskog sending the series to Game 7 in San Jose. The overtime winner. The rebound in front. And
underrated call, by the way.
It's a great call. I hear it a lot in my brain when I think about Gabe.
Yep.
So, it was honestly weird, Landy, like remembering and how happy he was and that he was on the team and.
And then we all know what he did in Game 7.
Yeah, I was gonna say we didn't know what was he was going to be involved in Game 7. So not great, but that was. I don't know that was the first one. Because when they were down 3-2 to San Jose in that series, that was a really veteran San Jose team.
Yep.
They were in the last throes of that that group, that core. And when the Avs won that game, that was the first time I really, truly started to think they might have something
this
here.
This team's core could do something.
Yeah. Like these guys are just, there's some grit. There's some moxie. And that was the first game that I really started to be,
I wanted to ask Eric about this because he was still with Calgary at the time. They went up against Landy and the Avs in that first round. What's it like being on the other end of facing someone like Gabe Landeskog? We talk all the time about the impact he has on the Avs. How much does he affect the game when you're going up against that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could find those notes. You know, like I found some notes since I was giving the guys, you guys, but I wish I could find those because on the pro side of my, you know, was talking to Billy Peters, right, the coach at the time, and, you know, because I followed the Avs the last 2 weeks, you know, probably, you know, this is probably going to be the team, you know, face. And so that's where it kind of shifts a little bit on pre-scouting, right? So, and I remember, like, talking to Billy on Zoom or whatever it was, or wasn't live. Yeah, it was Zoom. You know, like, the engine is number 92. That's what he is. You know, that's what he is to that team. Yeah, but what about McKinnon? And, you know, no, the engine is number 92. You know what I mean? And that's, at that time, if you look back, you know, that's exactly what Gabe is. He is the engine to your freaking Ferrari. You know what I mean? Like, Nate might be the gas pedal or whatever it is. I'm not a car guy, right? I can talk food, but you know what I mean? I'm saying
Kills the gearbox for sure.
Yeah, exactly. You see what I'm saying? Like, but Gabe's your engine. Gabe was the engine of that team. You know what I mean? And again, I remember him asking about Makar, but, you know, I was like, how good can a guy, be? He's in college. I don't know. I haven't really watched
him. You're about to find out.
He's pretty good. I heard he's pretty good. I mean, I don't think anyone realized he was that good, or not even the Avs, that he was going to be that good series. Like,
unprecedented what he did. Coming out of college. In the middle of a second round or first round playoff series, game three, just dropping in
four
and being
shifts
that good,
score an NHL goal,
being that good, that impactful, and you go and that's unprecedented.
But I'm not bashing Billy for that. I'm saying right away, you're like, really, this college kid's going to make a difference? You know, I don't know, and I'm like, I don't know. I wasn't shying away from it. I didn't say yes or no. I'm like, I don't know. I've seen him play a few times. I don't know how he's going to be in the NHL. Like,
but how it's gone with Nikolai Kovalenko. Much more normal.
More normal.
No offense to him, right?
Of course. But,
he's just not an alien.
But that's what Gabe was, right? Gabe is your guy. He's your engine. And it's an emotional, you know, the Viking description. And, you know, like Gabe brings it all, right? You know, if he's got to go wah-wah, then he goes wah-wah, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if he's got to go freaking score a big power play goal, he scores a big power play goal. If he's got to.
You remember that at the start of the 22 season against St. Louis?
Shen?
And and it was revenge for the Kadri hit on Justin Falk.
Not advocating for violence here, but we're just saying.
And you know. Shen wanted it, and Landy said, "I'm the captain.
I'll give it to you. Yeah.
You want that smoke?" And he gave all the smoke he could handle,
or whatever. Yeah, I mean,
bullying Matthias Ekholm that one time was.
Well, Gabe's a bully. Delightful. I mean, I don't care what people say. Gabe's a bully, and I love it.
Tons of fun.
I mean, in a good way, right? Yeah, school way. I'm saying, but Gabe will bulldoze you. He will, and there's no second guessing, and that's what they're missing, obviously, and they've learned to overcome that the last couple of years, right? You know, that doesn't mean you don't miss it, or that doesn't mean you don't, you know.
That fight with Shen in 22 set the tone for that Avs team, saying we're done being bullied. You're not pushing us around anymore.
Yeah.
For my money, they haven't been.
Agreed.
They haven't been regularly bullied, pushed around since then. The Seattle series, there are 700,000 mitigating circumstances that went into why that series played out the way that it did. I don't think bullying was one of them.
I would not say they were bullied, no.
And that's why you knew at 18 or whatever it was when he came in that this is your captain. I mean, did we name him a little early? Yeah, we've talked about that probably, you know, but you knew that you were going to help him out along the way and people were going to help him out and, you know, people from the franchise.
Honestly,
and
I don't really have a problem with how early they named him captain.
We didn't have a problem. I'm saying the pushback we got, that, you know what I mean? Like, oh, my God, you know, it's not, you know. Again, the situation we were in, it was.
Certainly in hindsight, it was the right decision.
It was the right decision.
Yeah.
I mean, they're saying Matt Duchene was mad and all that kind of stuff. Ryan was mad. And first of all, Ryan was holding out at that time, was not even here. So when Gabe...
Hard to
and
that
again,
guy
and Ryan, we've had that conversation.
He was a lot more mad about money about at that, the time.
Yeah. You know, so it's, I mean, and again, if you looked at Ryan, which they were good buddies, those two, if you looked at Ryan and said, like, Gabe's going to be the captain, like, I don't think he would have cared. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, and again, he didn't care because by the time he came back, Landy was already captain. And then Ryan did his thing in St. Louis and wherever he was. I don't think it was captain in Buffalo, but I think he ended up being in St. Louis, right? You know, so Ryan's always been captain material. This, you know what? You know. As soon as they walk in the ball arena or whatever it's called back then at the time, you know what they're going to be. You know, we got something special here, you know, when you're talking about leadership and all that stuff. So it was never a doubt with Gabe, right? So,
and that's why when he scored that goal to send him to that game seven, it felt like this fits.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, perfect.
It does.
Gabe getting it is. Yep.
Numero three.
Yeah, number three.
And somebody was just sorry.
Last night.
They're talking about Stastny. Like, sorry, going back to
it's fine.
You know, they're saying they were surprised they didn't give it to Stastny. And I'm saying there's a big difference being in the inside than from being on the outside. You know what I mean? There's a lot you don't see or what's happened. And I think Paul Stastny will be the first, and I love Paul, he'd be the first one to tell you, like, no, that's Gabe's the captain.
Look at the rest of his career. He didn't go on to be captain in St. Louis
and that's okay.
later
and
or
and
Winnipeg
no,
later.
You know, well, sorry for just, you know, because I respect Paul, right?
Yeah.
I do. So I popped in, sir, as
some guys. Some guys just know they're not a captain guy,
know,
right?
What we talking about? You got to know what you are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
It's all good.
Sorry. Number three is just last night.
Yep.
It was, I think this is a little higher on the list. It's a little lower in general importance because it's a game one.
Sure.
But it's higher on the list because They were down 3-0.
Yep. A three-goal comeback.
You're down 3-0 after the first period. It could have been 4 were it not for Josh Manson. Yep. You won a game. You won a playoff game. And they hadn't erased a three-goal deficit to win a playoff game since 1997.
Pretty sick.
It's
so, you know, it's not something that happens all the time.
It's the unusual heroes, too, right? You know, Nathan MacKinnon scores an overtime playoff goal. Yeah, well, he does that. Miko Rantanen scores an overtime playoff goal. Yeah, well,
Gabe Landeskog sends him to game 7. That. You're like,
Miles Wood does that, and you go, oh, he doesn't usually do that.
Yeah.
I mean, that to show you that you don't really happens a lot, like you just said. Mm-hmm. Like last time was 97, and moi was on that team, and I don't friggin' remember. So I imagine that. So it doesn't happen a lot.
Like you were on a team that scored 6 goals a handful of times. So
no, but I'm just
I can understand. Like you just being told like,
me yesterday, yeah, like down by 3, and you know what I mean, yep, scored 6 on answer. I mean, you know, I don't remember, but maybe that's showing my age right now. But it doesn't happen a lot.
Yeah,
so it's pretty special what you saw last night. So I agree with what you put at 3 there. You know, with icing on the cake from Miles Wood, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it. I know not on this list, but for Avs 1.0, obviously a little bit bigger winning a Stanley Cup, but
yeah,
the guys like a Uwe Krupp scoring an overtime goal. I mean,
wasn't it Sandis Ozilinch in double overtime against Chicago, and which was a war of a series,
buddy.
And that was a huge goal.
Huge. Yep.
Those ones are, you remember the specifics a little bit more as compared to like, oh, well, Chris Drury's just clutch as hell and he scores overtime goals all the time. Like,
Chris Drury just doing what Chris Drury does. Right.
You're like, you don't think of like one specific goal for that guy.
Yeah.
The way you might with this one with Miles Wood.
But the Ozilinch one, I think that's the game that Denmark got a 5 in a game. And I think Chicago tied it up, and Denny never took his gear off. Like, he just was sitting in the locker room, just couldn't breathe until the guys came back, and he wasn't even watching. He was just having a nervous breakdown, you know what I mean? Yep. And then the guys came back all happy, and he was like, we won. I wasn't there, so I know the story, but the guys told me, but man, oh man, it's playoff hockey, like in the overtime, just brings some weird stuff out of people.
Yep.
You know? I think all of the stories that you've told us over since you've been on the pod this year, all the ones about Adam Dedmarsh are my favorite.
Great. Because they're all so good.
He's such a nice guy, and you he just talk about him like he's just such a food maniac.
He loves food like us. He does.
Number two, the one that sent him to the Stanley Cup Final. I did not have Burakovsky's game winner in game 1 of the Cup Final on here. I waffled on it and was like, you could easily make the argument putting it ahead of the Vegas one. I would not have any bones about it.
It's a good one. It'd probably be on there if there wasn't a bigger overtime goal scored in that series. Put it that way.
So, but this one was, you know, you big comeback in the third period, and then you blow a 1-goal lead because Francois was not playing very well. And you get into overtime, and Arturi Lehkonen for the second straight year sends the team that he's on to the Stanley Cup Final. Yeah. And it's a great play.
Unreal tip.
Ended Duncan Keith's career.
Yep.
That was and Mike Smith's. True. That play.
That's true.
He never played,
Yeah, sent both Duncan Keith and Mike Smith into the ether. So, bye, guys. And that was, I remember you and I were just,
We were
so excited because it was just like, it's the Cup Final.
It's huge.
It's just a different, like, you're winning rounds and it's cool.
To the finals is huge.
But to go to the Stanley Cup Final, there's a reason that they have a separate media day leading up to the finals. It's an event. It's something that 2 out of 30 teams, 31 at the time, two teams a year get to do this, get to go and play for the whole shebang. You spend all year working for it, and then that's where you get to. And it was such a huge thing, and it was a sweep of Edmonton. It was a dispatching of McDavid and Draisaitl, and you did it with your backup goaltender, and it was Arturi Lehkonen, a deadline guy.
It kind of in a similar vein to what I was talking about with Miles Wood. You might remember Miles Wood for that playoff overtime goal. And you'll get a couple of years to think back, hey, remember that time Miles Wood scored that goal? It'd be cool. With Lecky, every time he scores a goal, somebody says, good stick, Lecky. Every time.
Yeah, if you guys could also go and tweet at D-Line and just tweet at him, good stick, Lucky. Don't say anything else.
That's it.
Just say good stick, Lucky. You know, make sure that he understands that we would like a good stick, Lucky shirt to be made.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying. Just try and bully D-Line into giving us the Lucky shirt that we deserve. But that's why, literally all the time, when somebody says anything about Artturi Lehkonen, it's always just good stick, Lucky.
Yep. Okay. Number one, are we good?
Yeah.
Number one. We all know which one this is.
But. Yeah. Number one, the goal that none of us knew went in.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I remember being on the watch along and being like, wow, that's a
great. How did he save?
Yeah. We were like, that's a great save by Vasilevsky. And then all of a sudden, mayhem.
Yeah.
Absolute mayhem unfolded in the bar because we were like, oh my God, they won. And then they were reviewing it. And so everybody's like, and then, because, you know, that's just, you win that game, you're up 3-1.
Yep.
You're up 3-1, and you're like, the chances of us winning the Stanley Cup are now very high. They are very high. And, oh, my God, it was such a weird, because of the delayed reaction and then the review and everything that went into it. It was intense.
It was wild.
Yeah. The review on the Lehkonen goal, too. We were all like, is it a high stick? Because we were just like,
Yeah.
And it was close.
It was really close. The Kadri one was more of just a slow realization of, oh, no, that is in the net. That's a goal.
Yeah. But we'll always remember Bowen Byram as the guy skating down at the ice. And I don't remember. I think it was Stamkos that popped it out of the net.
Just tried to shove it out of there.
Pops it out and then moves it away. And he's like, it's not in the net. It's not in the net. This game's not over, guys. And awesome. Just an awesome memory. And for it to be Nazem Kadri with the postseason he had and coming back with a broken thumb. He couldn't even shoot. And it was always just such a thing. Oh, he can't even shoot. And then all the hilarious.
Pretty good shot,
all the hilarious John Cooper
whining about everything under the sun.
Well, that was the game after where there was the too many men, and he was like, I'm not even going to talk about it right now.
You guys will go back and review the footage. Yeah,
you guys can go watch the video and you'll see it for yourself. And then the next day, he comes out and they're like, so how do you feel about the last night? And he goes, you know, after I've had a night to sleep on it, he was like, wasn't that big of a deal, but you can't convince Bolts Jolts of that. That guy will die on the hill.
Why are you
giving
this guy airtime? Don't give this guy airtime.
That's it. Well, I mean, he's the avatar for wronged Lightning fans. And it was such a great moment because it felt like, oh my God, they're gonna win the cup. They're gonna win the cup.
Yeah,
and then obviously they had to get the thing done.
Took an extra game,
and it was still a war to get there. But so much easier when you only have to win one and not two more.
Yep,
and that was just such a great moment, and it being Kadri and everything that he went through with that playoff run was great. So those are the 2.0 OT winners, and maybe this run will provide us a couple more.
There could be more. Hopefully, I'd rather win them all before overtime for my heart, but. Sometimes you can't always get what you want. That was our Bet 365 at Never Ordinary Top 5. A fun list. I had a couple other ideas that I have in the bag here we'll use later in the playoffs. Maybe
perfect.
Two,
so. I was just trying to make it timely.
There you go. It was super timely for sure.
Thanks, Miles. Goodwood.
If you are experiencing a playoff overtime, you might need to chill. So go grab yourself a Coors Light. Go to CoorsLight.com/DNVR to get Instacart delivered to your front door today. Whatever the situation, Coors Light is made to chill. The mountains turn blue. You crack one open. You sit back in your chair. You relax and have a beer. Enjoying yourself, whether it be watching an Avs game or just chilling on a weekend, going out for a picnic, whatever it might be, hanging out at the bar. You name it. Coors Light has you covered. So go get yourself some today. If you don't want to get it delivered, you can get it in pretty much any liquor store in the country at this point. Coors is brewed right here in Colorado in Golden, so please party responsibly. Coors Brewing Company. Again, CoorsLight.com/DNVR to let them know we sent you over there. And once you got a Coors Light in your hand and you're chilling, make sure you're going over to Red Hawk Roofing to make sure your house is in good condition. Red Hawk Roofing, the best part about this is, if you're a worrier like my wife is, who's like constantly concerned about stuff.
You said warrior. I was like, what? She's not a warrior.
Warrior.
Yeah. Okay.
Worry ward.
Anything goes wrong, big worrier. Red Hawk Roofing will come out and give a free inspection of your roof. They'll come out there. They'll take pictures. They'll show you what's going on. Hopefully everything's good. They might just come down and be like, here's the pictures. Your shingles look great. Then you know. You don't have to think about it anymore. If there are problems, they'll let you know. So you actually have an idea of what's going on, too.
Seems like an ideal outcome.
Yeah.
Shingles look great.
Bye. They'll also tell you what's wrong, if there is something wrong, all completely for free. That inspection costs you nothing. And if there is something wrong, they can get you all fixed up. They're the best roofers here in Colorado, local company too. And they're even available 24/7 if something crazy does happen. So go on over to redhawkroofing.com today and at very least get yourself that inspection. Third period of the DNVR Avalanche podcast. We can't play video on these live pods, unfortunately, but we do have the next best thing with a couple of images to break down from last night's game.
Yeah, a handful of stills that I just thought were noteworthy.
Yep.
So they're numbered for TIFF, which is a good thing because I don't remember them. Great. So this is the sequence that kind of leads to the breakout that ends the game. But this is Ross Colton separates this guy from the puck.
Creates chaos a bit.
Good job by Ross. And you see all the coverage is perfect. And this is, he gets an assist on this. It's just a good play by Sam Girard. It's a good play. He doesn't panic in this situation, gets a stick on the puck, and just moves it around. There's nothing amazing about this. But this is good, solid defensive hockey, and it leads to something better than that. So this is, I love this because our friend at PHNX, PD, did a full breakdown on how Cogs actually toes this puck, does not do this intentionally. He's trying to flip it over, but it comes off the toe of his stick and ends up being perfect.
Yeah.
Ends up being perfect. But look at this. It's, you can't see all of the ice, but I liked this angle of it because the camera angle, the TV angle was so bad that you couldn't even see Cogs
at all. Yeah.
But this is great because again, middle of the ice, that's where the Avs like to attack. That's where they attack with speed. And Cogs gets the puck there intentionally or not. Doesn't really matter. And it's a great play by Cogs.
Yep.
So that's all I like. There's nothing, again, not a ton about this. This is where I think this gets interesting. Because this is, we were talking about how did Ottinger get beat so badly? This is where he is in the net.
Most of that net is not covered. And I get that. Wood is on the far side or the near side,
right?
Here,
but look where Ottinger's body is. One thing about like, oh, I'm gonna try and stop the short side. I'm gonna make sure he doesn't beat me there. Yeah. You know, Haskinen is coming in at such an angle that I don't think he's gonna be able to cut hard across when he's coming this fast. The one thing that Wood does is the thing that neither one of those guys were like
ready for at all.
They're thinking this is Miles Wood. He's not gonna be good enough to do this. We're gonna be able to stop this from happening. Look where he is, though. Jake Ottinger, look where he is.
Half of his body is outside of the post.
It's not great. It's not great. And so when we were talking about how does he get beat so badly, it starts with this.
Yep.
He's covering the G in Geico. Yeah.
The next part of this is Eric's favorite word, too. I wouldn't say it was a great push. Ottinger coming back across.
Before we get there, though,
sure.
I want to, the reason I put this in here, look where Haskinen's stick is. That's right on Miles Wood's stick.
And he's able that to get through it.
And he hits the stick. I watched this in slow motion 1,000 times. He hits the stick and Wood just powers through it. And that is a puck that is on edge the entire time that this little sequence with Haskinen is happening. It is on edge, and he powers through Miro Haskinen's stick because Haskinen does everything right in his recovery. He gets torched in the skating portion of this. Yep. But when he's recovering, he gets out. He doesn't commit a penalty. He doesn't hook him. He doesn't hold him. And he gets stick on stick. It's not just a flail. He gets it just the way that you would want to. And Wood just right on through.
Yep.
Yeah. I like that part. And I just thought that was a notable part of it because he skates through that. And then look, this is right after he releases the puck. It's a little black blur here. You can see it. Where the hell is Jake Oettinger?
Well, look at his skates where they are. For me, I mean, he's in the back of the net.
Yeah.
So you got
that pressure. Right skate.
Yeah. Obviously the left one, he's lifting it up. But
yeah.
There's no way you should let a player, and again, I'm going to bash Miles Wood here, but I love him. You guys know that. Like, this is not David Pastrnak. That's Miles
Wood. He has nine goals this season.
So you have to know who it is. And by the way, Heiskanen was right there. You know, obviously it's a different angle, but from the other angle, you know he can't go left. So he's either going five hole or he's going far side.
Yeah.
It's very simple. So you just charge at him with the paddle down and you cover the back. It's not David Pastrnak. So again, I think that it's a tough play by Oettinger right there. It's a tough look. You got to come up and again, Georgiev makes the big saves on the other side, right? Yep. And then this one, you know, again, it's kudos to Miles Wood. Like he skates.
He makes the play.
Iskanen, that's a freaking elite skater. But Woody's an elite skater too, so it's a dogfight race, and Woody makes freaking something out of a flip. You know what I mean? Yeah. Which was, you can't go to sleep for half a second, right? Yeah. You just can't.
Stars were dominating up to that point.
And it just boom, they flipped it out, and then they go. So it's awesome.
Like immediately before that, I was like, they're gonna lose this game if they don't turn this around. They are losing this game, and then Cox flips it out, and Wood does the rest. But I think what was interesting, because when he scored it, we were like, you know, once the freaking out stopped, it was like he went five hole. He had to go five hole on him, right? Because that's the move that you make in that situation. You go
open up.
You exactly. You get your goalie moving side to side. He opens the five hole because he's pushing. And you slip the puck in there, and instead he goes all the way around him, and it is not even close.
Nope. He's allowed to go all the way there because he's in the back of the net and he's on the Geico, right? And he's on the Geico and he can't push because it's not even a so he's screwed. Yep. You know, like his heart probably sank. You know, like, oh, I played this wrong.
Tiff, can you pull up the last one?
So
he sticks that left leg out and just goes, oh no.
You have no hope.
Oh no.
Look where his right skate is. That's not where you push. You're not going side to side there. He's already beat. He's obviously the puck is on the way into the net. But
just positionally, he was
beat. Yeah, he didn't even give himself a chance to make that play. I know that there's been a lot of, oh, he wasn't expecting Wood to make that move or this or that. I mean, why?
Miles Wood's still an NHL player.
Yeah, but also know your personnel. Miles Wood makes that move all the time. Miles Wood has successfully just fired home one breakaway this year, and it was against New Jersey.
His buddy.
He knew he could just I'm gonna just pick the spot and it's gonna be good. But
how many times have you watched him slam that right into a pad?
Exactly. he tries to cut across a lot and does not succeed a lot.
Yep.
And Oettinger doesn't even come close.
Yep.
And that was the part that I tweeted about where I was like, what's he doing?
Yep.
It's so bad. He gets beaten so badly here.
Yeah, agree.
It's you know, like when Pastrnak scores on Samsonov there, okay, first of all, that's David Pastrnak. Second of all, you're looking at the guys in front of him going, how do you let this happen? And nowhere near the amount of space. Samsonov comes much closer to making that save than Jake Oettinger did. Jake Oettinger gets as badly as Miro Heiskanen gets beaten here. He at least gives his goalie a chance because he does cut off. Okay, I have reduced him. He's not in the middle of the ice. He can only do a couple of things here. This is not like a clean breakaway where he can do a whole lot of stuff. And he forces Wood to actually power through a stick check there. He makes him make a play, and Jake Oettinger doesn't do anything. No help.
It's something you've talked about before. When we've talked about the clutch conversation, and I don't want to get into the actual clutch conversation. I want to talk about the way you talk about it.
Must I be called a narcissistic millennial again?
But the part of it I want to talk about is we both agree, regardless of how you feel about clutch, there are absolutely people that shrink from the moments.
Yeah.
100%.
It felt like Jake Oettinger shrunk from that moment.
Man, well, and he was really bad in game one against Vegas. Yep. He was really he was not good last night either, for my money, but...
Same. But my point is
notably on that
to make that play to become the hero. It's not like Miles necessarily had to do something unbelievable and make this ungodly play. Not to take anything away from his speed and beating Haskin and all that, but he just had to not blink first.
Yeah.
And Ottinger blunk first. So.
I agree.
I appreciate blunk. Artosis would too.
Yeah. Is Miles Wood a stalker?
Yeah. You can't say that because it's going to sound like an accusation and not a video game reference.
StarCraft II Protoss unit stalker.
Yeah. Which blinks.
All right. Couple more things to get to here. But before we do, we are brought to you by the amazing folks over at Volo Sports. If you want to go get on in on some sporting action, if you want to keep yourself more athletic than I am, given that goal celebration, go get with Volo. You can get 3 months of $10 off.
Were you in the cold tub this morning?
Oh, man. I tell you, the knee, it needed an ice pack after that, buddy.
No, most guys would be in the hospital right now with an IV bag, but not Rudo. He's here. This guy plays through anything. Most guys would be in the hospital. The man is here. He's not missing the day.
$10 off for the first 3 months with code DNVR3 with the Volo Pass, which gives you unlimited access to drop-ins, pickups, tournaments, you name it. Whether it's volleyball, basketball, football, floorball, you name all the sports that you can think of.
Sergio floorball?
Sergio floorball. Yep, that is exactly what you will. That you should sign up for Volo with that name. That would be all time.
An entire team of Sergio floorballs.
The Floorball brothers.
The Floorball family playing floorball.
Yeah, I'm in.
All right.
I'm all the way in. Go sign up. And even if you travel, the Volo Pass works in any city where Volo operates. And they're the biggest social sports company in the U.S. So go get with them. Get that Volo Pass on the Volo app and get that $10 off for the first 3 months with code DNVR3.
Those guys are 10 tons of fun, too.
Oh, they go hard.
We were here for the F1 race on Sunday.
They go hard.
Volo was here just playing Flip Cup and beer pong and just going crazy over there. I was like, damn, this looks like fun.
You guys going to go bowling tonight?
No.
Not during the playoffs.
All right. Lastly.
Also, I have Vanderpump to watch.
Well, there you go. We are brought to you by us. I already mentioned all the diehard stuff we have, but we also, have a great rocking time down here at the bar for every Avs game. So come on down, come on and have a great time with us. It's always an awesome place to be an Avs fan or any other sports fan in Colorado. We give away stuff every intermissions, including some of our shirts, if you want some of that action. And you can get a bunch of awesome deals when you become a diehard, including 20% off at the bar, 20% off our merch. You also get access to our Discord. So we're always running events. Keep your eyes peeled. You also will, it probably won't be until the off season, but we'll have some more Ball Arena takeovers for next season too. So it'll be a fun one. A lot of awesome stuff with the NVR. I'll put it to you that way. So yeah, stick with us.
Being a diehard rules.
It's awesome. It's awesome. Even if you're not a diehard, join us for the watch alongs of the games. Always a fun time. You get to see things like me almost destroy our entire set while I lose my mind.
I really thought those bobbleheads were going down, man. I was like, these bobbleheads are done.
It's over.
You could have ended up on York Street, too. You know what I mean?
Right through the window.
I was like, Eric's never going to make a shirt for us again after he destroys these.
Megan spent so much time gluing them back together already. Or else just going to destroy them.
Another OT goal, and you might have to glue me back together. So, all right. Final bit of the show. We'll get our super chats here, and then I'll turn it over to you, Eric. $2 from Tua, who says, thanks, you guys. Let's go, Avs. Thank you very much. And then $5 from Brandon, who says, I don't know why, but I picture AJ shouting, Sas Duhame, whenever he does something.
Was that from Duhame? It's from Brandon? That's just Duhame sending us money.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
I just got it. Yeah.
He's just hanging out. He's like, all right, easy day at the office today. I'm going to watch the old DNVR apps show.
It's in the hotel in Dallas. And
I know that guy really likes me. So
we had, during the cup run, we had a guy whose YouTube account was Peter Worrell. And I just assumed that it was actually Peter Worrell still.
We always do. Yeah. We always just assume. That's definitely the real Peter Worrell.
He's a good guy. Good guy. Pete's a good guy.
Okay. Eric, you wanted the floor here to talk about something.
Yeah, I want to talk about something. I don't want to be sappy here, or if that's a word. Well, I didn't sleep last night. You know, I didn't. I pull what I call a Rudo and an AJ. They don't have kids. I got kids. It's a little different. But last night, you know, got home, so excited. And then, you know, a couple hours later, I just was laying on the ground, on the couch and trying to get some sleep, couldn't sleep. And then was up early with my youngest because I got to drive him to school. And then went about the day and just came here. So, but I didn't realize it till last night. Like, it hit me. I was making fun earlier about, and he was making fun about Rudo's celebration yesterday, but it made me realize last night that everybody's here at DNVR is awesome. You know, forget about DNVR Avalanche. I'm talking about DNVR, the whole family's awesome. And,
yeah.
But DNVR Avalanche gives you a little special group, right? A little sense of belonging. And for me, the last couple of years, I haven't stepped away from the game. You got to remember, all I know is this, right? All I know is hockey, and it's being part of a team. And when it's not there, on your daily life, like there's a hole, there's a void, you know what I mean? And I just want to say, made me realize last night, I'm like, I love being part of, these are my teammates, you know, like Tiff, that's, again, Megan's not here right now, but Tiff is awesome. Tiff works, I shouldn't say that, her balls off, it doesn't make sense, but Tiff.
That's fine, you can
Tiff,
say that.
Tiff works. They've worked so hard.
Successfully.
And, yeah, I mean, honestly, yeah. No, but I mean it. And it's so fun because it's fun to see something like that. And I'm older, so that's why I said I don't want to be sappy. But you see Tiff, and she's working hard, and she's always there for us. And it's kind of fun to be part of a team, you know what I mean? So, and for me to watch these two, like, I love being with those two because I come from a different background. Having played in the league, having worked in the league, and again, I'll give myself, and you guys know that, I never make them feel, and I want people to know that, I never make them feel like, I played and you didn't. There is not in my vocabulary, it never has been.
Yeah.
I see the game differently because I played. You see the game, and you see the game differently because you're looking at it in a different way. But last night made me realize, I was like, I never realized, because I've never been part of something like this. I've always been part of a team, but this is my team now, which is awesome, because seeing Rudo go bananas last night, it's not faked. It wasn't planned. It's not like, oh, my God, if they score, I'm going to go fucking ape shit and go backwards on the couch and almost pull my groin and be out 3 weeks. And, you know, no, it came from the heart. It came from, and it's so fun to watch hockey with, especially the three of, and Tiff's being, you know, getting so much better at learning hockey. Obviously, Tiff doesn't come from a hockey background, but she does everything to make herself knowledgeable on the thing. And I'm not being sappy. I mean it. You know, I just...
You're being a little sappy.
No, I'm not.
It's kind of sappy.
No,
it's
I'm kind of sappy. No. And I mean it because AJ knows that. I've known AJ longer than Rudo because I used to see him on the press box and everything.
Yeah.
And analytics has never been my thing, and I've never been against it. We've had discussions years ago. I'm absolutely not against it. But I've gotten so much better this year just by being with those two, and I mean that, and I'm saying that to the camera because those two are knowledgeable and they know their shit. And I look at the game so much differently, better, and it's made me better at being a hockey fan because we're all fans. I don't care if you're Chris McFarland or
I wouldn't be Rudo. Here if I wasn't.
That's what I'm saying, or Rudo or anyone on chat right now or Tiff. Like,
literally, none of us would be here right now.
We're all fans, right? You know what I mean? And then some can touch it a little more, i.e., Chris and Joe, and you know what I mean, and Bednar, but. But I never realized how much it can be. No, I know sappy isn't bad. I'm French. I don't know the freaking word. But I just want to say it. You know, those guys are so freaking good, and they're so knowledgeable. And I get it why Tiff has gone so much better in a few years, because you get to be like people like this every day. So I'm not, because I haven't slept, I'm being honest. And those guys make me better at loving the game of hockey. So.
It's too early for this, bud. Save it all for the end of the year.
No, when
it's
all said and done. No, I mean it.
We always do this at the end of the year.
I know. Yeah. And I know people think I freaking bash Georgiev all the time, including those two. I don't.
He does. Just,
no.
All the time, man. Relentless.
Okay, we're good. We'll leave it for tomorrow.
You're also being nice to two people who don't handle compliments
well.
Yeah,
we don't know what to do about this.
No, but I've never looked at it this way until, and then last night it hit me. I'm like, you know what? These guys make me better. You know what I mean? And it's true. So, you know, and I'm sure, you know, somewhere, somehow I make you better. I'm not trying to get a compliment either. No, I know. You know what I'm saying? But I'm saying it's reciprocal. You know?
Don't even.
We love you here. We love you here, bud. We'll get into the details like we said when it's all over. Yeah, we'll all cry about it on a live camera.
It's a lot harder for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So those guys are good. I just want to tell you.
Thank you. I do appreciate it.
And it's made me understand so much more about.
You know, we love you, man.
You know.
No doubt about it.
Hey, okay, Georgiev, as much. I don't hate Georgiev, right? I don't. Don't listen to these guys. I just state facts. It's all good. And I wish him the best, by the way. You know that.
Of course.
I just, we'll leave it at that. Can't help myself.
We do got to get out of here.
Things get wild when Eric doesn't sleep. Oh, fuck.
We do appreciate all y'all in chat as well. We will be back tomorrow with pregame watch along and postgame for game two. So be sure to hang it in here with the DNVR Sports YouTube account. Like and subscribe. Help us. We're getting close to 80,000 subscribers, guys.
Creeping up.
Give us a subscribe here. Let's get to 100K by the end of the playoffs.
Creeping up.
That'd be a crazy run, huh? We are out of here. We will talk to you on the next one.
We all silly like the mayor.
You know, if you haven't checked out What Chaos yet, you oughta, because we've had all your favorite players on the show. I'm talking Seth Jones, Lena Solmark, Connor Bedard, whoever it may be.
We're live every day on YouTube at noon Eastern, but also available on all podcast platforms, including the one you're listening to right now.
We got guests, and yeah, we're also doing a bit of chit-chat, goofing around, laughing at what makes us laugh in hockey.
So regardless of how deep you are into your hockey fandom, come listen to What Chaos. We'll talk about your favorite team, we'll talk about your least favorite team, and everybody in between. And we're having a ton of fun doing it every single day, Monday through Thursday. It's What Chaos, presented by All City Network.